Maybe I'll try this. Might have to pace around. If you remember me from two Octobers ago, I was here for the Pulpit Exchange, and I was up and down and up and down and up and down. So we'll probably do that again. Except I have paper this time, so it might be a little more tricky. So yeah, I guess I must be counted among the wise, because I am truly confounded. I don't know what to do. There's some tension here in this morning's scriptures, right? And of course, I was so glad that someone asked me to join you for Sunday school, because that was like right on the nose about talking about, so what do we do? Why do we bother trying if all of our stuff, all that we have, all that we are, is considered rubbish in the righteousness of Christ, to the righteousness of Christ? Well, That was right on the nose. So I thank you for allowing me to join you for that. That really inspired me to keep going with this. Not that I wasn't going to, but anyway. So there's some tension here this morning between the book of Micah and the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians. But one is about sureness in who Christ is, and the other, the one from the book of Micah. Now, I've heard this before. The book of Micah, that's a good verse. Have you ever heard that before? The book of Micah, that's a good verse. Because when we think about the book of Micah, what do we think? We think of one verse, and that was it. You know, what does God require of you other than to do justice, love kindness or mercy, and walk humbly with your God? Right? The whole book right there, one verse. Boom, there it is. Except there's another verse, too, that we typically think of. I think it's in the book of Micah. Maybe I shouldn't be standing up here because I don't know the Bible that well, but isn't it also in the book of Micah, let justice flow like rivers or something like that? I think so. It might be in there. It's in the Bible somewhere. But we tend to think of the summary of all that God has done for us and all that God is doing and all that Christ has taught us. All that is can be summed up in one verse. But what does it mean, really? And when it comes to one verse picking, what about the rest? Because there is more to the Bible, right? Now, how many of you can discern all of God's will out of verse 8? Just me, huh? Okay. Well, that's okay. But the verse is basically, just do this. What does God require of you? Just do this. You got three things to do. However you want to translate it. Love justice, do justice, promote justice. Love kindness and mercy, and walk humbly with God. Live obediently. Well, what does that all mean? I think we have to figure out what those things mean, because, okay, I can say I promote justice by, I don't know, how do I do it? That's really the question. How do we do it? Because as we heard in Sunday school, if you were there, the Jewish people had thousands of laws to interpret what God told them to do, how it would be that it would go well for them in the land that God was giving them, because God loves them so much that God took them out of Egypt, out of slavery, to go to a place where they could live well, long, prosperous, happy, enjoyment of life. They just have to do a few things. Right? And what are those things? And we can sum it up in one verse, of course. But there's a little more detail, complexity, nuance, and yes, practice to what this one verse sums up all the things. Now, we split hairs historically. How many people might say they have the gospel truth? How many of you have heard someone say they know the truth? Anyone? Participation is required. Yes, thank you. Yes, and you might even be one of them. I am too. The wisdom, the wise are confounded. And yes, I am confounded. Fortunately, we have the rest of the Bible to split more hairs. But we have the rest of the Bible to flesh out what this one verse means. Or there is another verse up there, but we'll get to it. there's more to it. There's always more to it. The story is always bigger. And fortunately, we have the rest of the Bible. We have the rest of history. We have our tradition. We have our ancestors. And thank God we have each other to help figure out what it means to do justice, to love, kindness, and mercy, to walk humbly with God, to live obediently in the gospel truth that we find in Christ. Thank God we have all those things. And I'm pretty sure we also have God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit too. Thank goodness. So how to practice comes from how to interpret, comes from engaging in practice and study and, yes, each other and practicing prayers and all those spiritual disciplines that we take so seriously, that we do, that we devote ourselves to. So, okay, now it's easy, right? I say my prayers, I read my Bible, I talk to some people, maybe argue with them a little bit. I can do this. I can do this. I am now qualified to preach. I am the wise. I can yammer for, what does Joe go on for, 25 to 35 minutes, he told me. We'll see if we can do that. I'm usually a little more short-winded than that, but we'll give it a try. 20 to 25 minutes. We'll give myself 20 to 25 minutes. Okay, now that's easy. But what about the rest of life? There's 525,600 minutes in a year. Some of you probably know that line from a musical. Times roughly, let's say 72 years on average for the average lifespan. Now, you can do that math. You do the math. I'm the one preaching, so I'll just keep going. But I'm going to need a little more time, I think, to sort out this one verse summary of all that God does and all that God requires of us. I need a little more time practicing what I preach. I need a little more time preaching. I need a little more time studying. I need a lot more time praying and read the Bible. Because how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? I tend to be guilty of this mentality of, it's simple. You just do this. Just do this. Just do this one thing, right? Anyone guilty of that? Anyone buy into that stuff? Corinthians talks about confounding the wise, and yep, it happened right here. Not only do I look really dumb sometimes, I'm getting some looks on your faces that I'm thinking, maybe I may not be right on the mark here, but sometimes I look so dumb. Sometimes I sound so dumb. Sometimes I'm so confounded by God's wisdom that I even smell dumb. I don't know how that works. But so anyway, the other verse that Micah typically is, justice like rivers, and of course, walk humbly and love kindness and that stuff. And it's not so easy to just figure it out. There's more to the story, right? It's always more complex than that. There's always two sides to a coin, usually. There's always more than one side to a story. There's always more opinions and beliefs in the world than there are people. And so it's not so easy to figure out or to live out. And honestly, it's so much more difficult when you take other people's feelings into consideration and their needs, not just what we see things as being. So how do we live out the gospel good news, changing the world if maybe we're not entirely sure what it means ourselves? Because we may think we have it figured out. But of course, the Jews had their Torah. That's really what the Hebrew text is talking about in the book of Micah. Walking the way. Walking the way. Living out the life of peace and blessings and humilities and obedience and all that stuff. Is it any wonder that when Jesus showed up in his time, he had to correct a few things that had become tradition? Makes sense, right? You had all that time from the book of Micah to the time of Jesus, and Jesus had to set the record kind of straight, figure it out a little bit, get people back on the right track. And how much more do we need that guidance right now ourselves? In this church, in this town, in this county, state, nation, planet, how much more do we need that guidance now? We need Jesus, not just to sum it up, but to spell it out for us. So how do we live out the gospel? show up to church, right? It's a good start. Show up to church, bring people to church, give to the church, the things about church. These are common answers that might be more on the side of being loyal to a building or an institution than to the people and the planet, and I think God's involved in there somewhere, right? It all goes back to God. So what do we do? Honestly, what do we do? How do we live out the life of grace that comes from Jesus Christ? Now, there are plenty of books that have answers. You got to do this to achieve enlightenment. You got to do this to free your soul from, I don't know, you name it, there's a book out there. You just got to give this one unbelievable fruit a try. And if you eat it exactly 10.012 ounces every day at 3:32 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right? You've heard it. You get advertisements all the time. You hear it on the radio. You see it on your screen, no matter what screen it is. You just do this one thing, and this guy can retire early. That's really what it's about. Now, there's all those fads and all those answers with the one thing. But Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, keeps going back to one crucial thing. Jesus died on the cross. This is how we change the world. That makes sense, right? This is how we change the world. Jesus died, right? Makes sense. Jesus showed up. First and foremost, God is here with us. God is here for us. God is for us and God is with us. But then Jesus did more than just that one thing. He gave all. He gave all. There's more than just the one thing. There's more than just doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with God. But now wait, did Jesus die trying to change the world? Or did he die changing the world? Or did the world change because he was killed? Or there we go, splitting hairs again. How exactly did it happen? Where exactly in the point in time in all of history did something change so critically, so crucially, so beautifully? See, it's still not that easy. It's still not that easy to just say, Jesus died on the cross, now that's it. Of course, we can say that. We can take hope and assurance in that. Jesus has died, Jesus is risen, and Jesus will come again, and we can rest on that. Paul regards all the stuff as rubbish because of one thing, the righteousness of Christ. And it confounds me. It confounds the wise. It thwarts the intelligence and the cleverness of the smartest people because it really makes no sense. We might get caught in the how and the why and the when exactly. Was it a process? Is it a process even now? What exactly changed when Jesus died or when he was raised or when he was born or conceived? Because we have all these stories. It's more than just one thing. And what exactly changed from what to what? Is there more change coming? When does this all culminate? Should I pack my bags? Should I give up? That's a more serious question. Jesus died and the world changed somehow, but like if his death was the changing of the world and he asked me to pick up the cross and follow him, does that mean we have to like give up living in this world to see it change for the better? Do we literally have to die? Or does it mean like just trying really hard and getting really dirty? Or is it really just a resignation like, hey, the world is not actually going to change, so get out while you can. Or is there some kind of like breaking away or even breaking in that nails through the hands somehow rupture the system of our sin? Because sin is more than individual drops of water. If justice is to be a river, if we are to do this one thing, and a river is a system, and so justice is to be a system, a big old everybody's involved in it way of life, and our sin does the same Okay, so now I'm like even more confounded by all of this. How does it all work? How do we get there? How do we get from here to there? How do we do it? And what even is it in the first place that we're going to do? And all those other questions we have in our daily lives. Right? I can yammer for 20 to 25 minutes. I'm not really keeping track. I wasn't paying attention. But you hear sermons every week. You read your Bible, I hope, every day. You pray, I hope, every day. And yet it doesn't fill all the space. There's always so much more. So much more. And how do we do it? How do we live it out? Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And until then, listen to the yammering of the pastor. Walk alongside one another. Engage in prayer and devotion and study hard to understand, which really, 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 I cannot stress this enough, means listening to others. To listening to yourself and to others. To love others as yourself means to love yourself as well, like you love God. And let God do the God stuff. I can confess nothing good except what is revealed in Christ through the Holy Spirit. And I cannot boast of anything except that, dumb as I sometimes sound, usually, dumb as I sometimes look, and yes, even occasionally dumb as I sometimes smell, which I still haven't figured that out. But God is good. God is great. I give thanks. I've really done and got nothing else. And that is humbling. And I will walk with that. And that is inviting and kind, and it leads to justice to know that God has got it all. Leads to justice, which our world and our system is imperfect, but we're going to get there because God is going to get us there. Rolling down that river that is life, and what else can we do but live loved and loving others as ourselves, and remembering and engaging with what God has done and is doing all along. Now, all that from one verse? Really? Yes, all that and so much more, for the grace of Christ is unending. Amen. Let's see if I remember this from when I've done this so many times. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with mercy and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.